From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater. An hour of sounds from the golden age of radio, coming to you from New York's Finger Lakes region. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open the hour with an episode of People Are Funny. The series was created by John Goodell and debuted on NBC in 1942. The premise of People Are Funny? Asking contestants to perform comical and maybe at times embarrassing stunts, all to demonstrate that indeed, people are funny. Initially, the series was hosted by Art Baker. He was replaced 1 year later by another Art Linkletter, who hosted the series on both radio and television right up until the end of People Are Funny on both mediums in 1960. The television version debuted on NBC in 1954. This broadcast of the radio version is from October 13th of 1953. It's called How to Scare Away the Tax Collector.
Would you like to frighten away the income tax collector?
Find out how tonight on
People Are Funny.
Yes, transcribed from Hollywood, John Goodell's production of People Are Funny, brought to you by Forever Yours and Milky Way Candy Bars, two quality bars made famous by Mars. And now, here's radio's top master of ceremonies, Art Linkletter.
Well... Hello there, and welcome to radio's most educational and cultural program. This is the program where we study human beings in a sort of an inhuman way. And I might tell you right here now that in 14 years of picking contestants out of the audience, we've never yet had anybody back down after they've once volunteered. They always do everything they can to complete the stunt. And let's see if we have a good audience here tonight. For instance, anybody, how many here are tourists? Yeah, right on. How many here are happy?
Yay!
Anybody here lend me $1,000?
No! Oh,
who said no? I thought I'd trick you and load myself up tonight. Speaking of money, this is very important. Later tonight, I'm going to tell you how a dog somewhere in the United States will win $1,000 in cash. It might be your dog. Right now, Roy Rowan, who's first on the Forever Yours show?
Mr. Eric Reith from Shreveport, Louisiana. Meet Art Linkletter.
Hi, Eric.
Hi.
How do you spell that last name?
R-E-I-T-H-E.
Uh-huh. You never expected to be on this show when you came here tonight, did you?
No, it was the farthest thing from my mind.
Uh-huh. I often wonder why people volunteer. What made you put up your hand when I asked for people, huh?
I'm a little woman.
Oh, the wife shoved the hand up, huh? Well, it's actually an easy program. It's a cinch to win prizes. For instance, I'll give you a prize if you can answer this question correctly. What is Mickey Mantle's social security number? Now, do you know or don't you know?
I do not know.
And that is the correct answer. He does not know. So he gets the prize, a wonderful treat for Halloween, a big 24-bar box of Forever Yours. And if you'll turn it over, you'll see a nice, big, exciting mask on the back that you could use for Halloween. Now you've won something, eh?
Yes, I have.
Isn't it easy?
Thank you.
Now, would you like to try for the $100,000? That's another program. Mr. Wright, is it?
Yes.
What do you do back in Louisiana?
I'm an aeronautical instructor in aerodynamics.
Oh, for advanced students?
Primary and advanced.
Have you been a pilot yourself?
Yes, I have.
In which branch of the service?
Naval Air Corps.
Uh-huh. You're married and have...
None,
uh-huh. I just wondered. And is this the first time you've ever won anything? Have you ever won any prizes before anywhere?
No, I don't. No, I never have.
I just wondered, uh-huh. Now, tonight, you know, you're bound to get something.
Where you put that?
No, it's really a lot of fun. Now, you pay income taxes.
Yes, I do.
You fill out blanks. You're aware of the fact that everybody is expected to report his income.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Reith, have you read that recently the Department of Internal Revenue has been checking from door to door throughout the United States to see if people have paid their income tax?
Yes, I have.
Uh-huh. Have they come to your house yet?
No.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you think of this operation of theirs of going from door to door? Do you approve, or what's your...
Oh, pretty big operation, but well, I don't think...
Huh?
Well, I don't know.
Well, the reason I ask is that some critics of the plan have called this Operation Snoop.
They don't think that people should be allowed to snoop around. What do you think?
Well, they shouldn't have anything to worry about if they pay their income tax.
Uh-huh. Well, that's one way of looking at it. You think it's all right?
Yes, I do.
As a matter of fact, 53% of the American people approve of this, according to a Gallup poll. Of course, that means about 40% don't approve of it. Now, tonight, we are going to find out how people think about it here in Hollywood. And Mr. Wright, now look, you're not going to impersonate a Bureau of Internal man or anything like that. You're on the other side of the fence in this operation. Now look, here's a sign. Would you read what it says on the sign?
Keep out. These premises have been quarantined. Measles.
Now, Mr. Wright, don't you think a sign like that on the front door in the average house would keep away income tax investigators? Measles, mumps, scarlet fever. Isn't it a kind of a cute idea?
Yeah.
Well, now, we want to find out what people will think about this effort to keep away income tax collectors, because your job is to go out in a nearby neighborhood and try to peddle these signs for 50 cents apiece. After you have told the people in the house that you have an inside tip that the federal investigator is coming this next week. Now, remember, we don't want you to actually sell the signs. We want to just find out what people think of this idea and if they're willing to buy them. And on the other hand, we might find out how many people will think you're unpatriotic and hit you right in the nose. Now, you've got the idea, haven't you? Huh?
Yes, I have.
Now, I know that when you do get back, you'll have an interesting report on what people think about the collectors investigating, about this effort of yours to give them protection or anything else. Herb Atkins, you drive him there and get him back before the end of the program. Say goodbye to him, audience. Isn't that an interesting experiment? And very timely, too. And I've told him everything about it except for one little thing. Who do you think lives in one of the houses on that street we're sending him to? Yes, a tax collector. Wait till he gets to that house. That's all I gotta say, brother. Well, here in America, we all have differences of opinion about things. There's something else a lot of people are arguing about these days. The Kinsey Report. Yeah, pro and con. Personally, I think the 800-page Kinsey Report is a good thing. It's wonderful for pressing flowers. Of course, it's a bestseller. Did you ever wonder what makes a bestseller? It really, of course, isn't just one thing. It's a lot of things. And the same rule applies to candy bars, like Forever Yours. You see, they're bestsellers themselves. You eat a Forever Yours, maybe you can't figure out any one thing that makes it good. Everything is good about Forever Yours. Take that pure dark chocolate coating. It's plenty good, and you get plenty of it. The folks at Mars are mighty generous when it comes to ladling on the chocolate, flavored with pure vanilla. And let's not be overlooking the golden caramel layer in the Forever Yours bars. So, there you are. It's no one thing. It's all good things that make Forever Yours a bestseller. And you can quote me, you can't buy a better candy bar. Give Forever Yours a real try soon, won't you?
Don't forget, always make yours Forever Yours.
Who's next on People Are Funny, Roy?
Mr. and Mrs. Clarence Sleater, but we're keeping Mrs. Sleater in a dressing room off stage.
Oh, yes, I noticed the lady wasn't along with you, Mr. Sleater. How do you spell Sleater?
S-C-H-L-U-E-T-E-R.
What kind of a name is that?
German.
German. Where are you from?
Belleville, Illinois.
Mm-hmm. And your wife is not with you at the moment?
No, sir, she isn't.
We were holding her off stage because I want to talk to you first, you see. Mr. Sleater, here's a treat to give those Halloween tricksters back there in Illinois. A big 24-bar box of Mars Forever Yours with a funny cutout full-face mask on the back of it. What do you do back there in Illinois?
I'm a machinist by trade.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Sleater, you are a tourist.
Right, sir.
And you are not traveling alone, just you and your wife.
No, we're traveling with the Reekmans.
Uh-huh. Who is this fellow walking on stage back of you right now?
Lester Reekman.
Howdy, Les. You're traveling with this fellow, aren't
you?
Yes,
sir.
And, Les, you two are pretty good buddies, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
How long have you known him?
About 6 years.
You were where together?
Well, back in Illinois, and then we were in the Army together.
What did you do in the Army, Clarence Sleater?
I was a mess steward.
And what was he?
He was my first cook.
How was he?
Pretty good cook, sir.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Hey, thank you. Do you notice, Clarence, that Mr. Reichman is wearing a different suit than when he came to this show with you?
Yes, he is.
We picked him out of the audience after you and your wife had gone off stage, and you haven't seen him since then and didn't even know he was going to be on, did you?
No, sir, I didn't.
Well, now, that suit that he's wearing belongs to us, and in a couple of minutes, you'll find out why we had him change. The important thing I want everybody to get right now is that you two are real good buddies, huh?
Definitely.
Now, Mr. Sleater, would you do anything to keep your pal Lester here out of a jam?
Well, I guess I would if it would do him some good.
Well, believe me, you might be in a position to do him a world of good tonight. Would you go so far, for instance, as a buddy, to tell a lie or two for him?
Well, maybe one or two. I think I would.
You would tell a lie or two,
yes,
to keep him out of real trouble.
Out of real trouble.
Well, Clarence, it's my duty to tell you now that any lies you want to tell about him will certainly do him a lot of good. Because during the next 5 minutes or so, he is going to be sitting over a 500-gallon tank of ice water. It's now being unveiled. Take him right back up there. Uh-huh. Now, you'll notice that he's walking a small plank across the top of the tremendous tank, which has a glass front so we can see what happens to anybody who falls into it. And he's sitting on a seat up there. That little seat has a trick joint that holds it up. And the moment somebody presses a little attachment, the joint folds up, and you know what happens to your buddy?
I've got a very good idea.
He goes into the drink. How do you feel up there, Lester? How do you feel?
It's not too good.
However, I wouldn't worry because you trust your buddy?
Oh, yeah, till the end.
In a moment, ladies and gentlemen, we're now going to bring the next performer in this eternal triangle on stage. Mrs. Sleater is going to come on stage, and I'm going to interview her and her husband. And you up there have nothing to fear so long as your buddy down here tells lies during the interview. The very first time he tells the truth, what do you think's going to happen to you?
I don't want to think about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a test of friendship if we have ever had it. Now, Mr. Sleater, you must also not let your wife know that you're lying. You got that?
Right.
All right. Send in Mrs. Sleater. Mrs. Sleater, hello. How do you do? Been comfortable out there?
Yes.
Take a look around. Who do you see up there?
Huh? Lester Reichman?
Yeah. What's he doing up there?
I don't know.
Well, I want to tell you. He's just sitting up over there because that's a grandstand seat. And he likes to see things from up there, so don't bother about him at all. His stunt comes later. Meanwhile, now that we've got him up there, I would like to find a little bit about your married life, Corinne and Clarence. How long have you been married, Corinne?
It was 4 years last June.
Uh-huh, and of course you're in love and all.
Sure.
Uh-huh. And even people who are in love and who've been married have fights once in a while. Do you and your husband ever have an argument or quarrel about anything? Huh?
Well, we've never had a fist fight, but...
Well, I'm delighted to hear that. But, I mean, have you ever had, you know, a little quarrel about anything? What do you quarrel about? If you argue about anything, what do you argue most about? Maybe the way he hangs up his clothes or he drives or something.
Oh, he gets kind of mad at me for leaving my shoes in the middle of the room.
Uh-huh. Is that true, Clarence?
Why, dear, I never get mad at you for your shoes in the room.
Yes, you do. You always follow.
Well, he's probably trying to protect you right there in front of the audience here. What are your husband's good habits, Corinne?
Oh, he helps me around the house. He a lot of times does the dishes all by himself, and he takes me out.
Is that right, Clarence?
Well, I don't think it is. Not exactly. I don't help you with the dishes. I go out and fool around with the car most of the time.
Is that true, Corinne?
No.
But, dear, you know it is. How did I ever get that Chevy to run all the way down here?
It's just a good car.
Well, are you deliberately, Clarence, trying to make your wife mad by contradicting her?
Well, after being married for 4 years, I know better than to try and do that.
Uh-huh. Well, then, in other words, she is lying, then.
I wouldn't say that.
I'm a little confused about this argument. Mr. Reichman, which side are you on?
Mr. Sleater's. You know, he's my friend.
Yeah, he is your friend, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What? Does he, Corinne, does Clarence here always remember your anniversary, your wedding anniversary? And your...
Oh, yes.
Well, I really don't do it all the time. You see, I've got a box of candy hidden in the desk drawer that I usually keep for occasions that I forget.
And generally you do forget, and she reminds you?
She reminds me about a couple weeks later.
Corinne?
No.
Huh? Well, why is he saying this?
I don't know.
He's making you out to be a fibber.
That's right.
What do you think of him?
I think he's a fibber.
I knew too. What? We've been talking about him. What do you think is your best quality, Corinne? What do you think is the nicest thing about you as a wife?
Well, I can cook pretty good, as you can see.
Yeah, you are a pretty good cook, isn't he, Mr. Suet? Mr. Sleater.
Well, as I told you before, I was a mess steward in the Army. I don't think that's her best trait.
What do you think up there?
He tells me always how to cook, so I know how good he can cook.
Well, I'm going to ask you one more question, Clarence. If you had to do it over again, would you marry...
That is a dirty question, and I'm just coming to it.
Just before I answer this question, can we hold the handbag, please? Hold the handbag. Looked like a rather heavy, blunt weapon. Mrs. Slater, would you marry this same woman? Would you marry her if you had to do it all over again?
Well, no.
You would?
Yes. I think I would.
Now, wait a minute. You said yes, you would marry her, and that's the truth.
Yes, it's got to be, because friendship's got to end someplace or another.
Well, Lester, you said you'd be friends to the end. This is the end. Yeah. Goodbye. What do you think of your bosom pal, Mr. Ragman?
He's not my friend.
Oh, now, wait. Seriously, do you blame him with a question like that?
Well, after being married 4 years, I do the same.
Yeah, all right. Well, you've certainly ruined our suit of clothes. Anyhow, folks, we wanted you to see this because this is an exact preview of how they handle the trials in Russia. But you've both been cheerful victims, each in your own way. And so the Forever Yours candy bars wants you two old friends to each have a 21-inch Stromberg Carlson table model television set with panoramic vision, huh?
Thank you.
Nothing
thank you
finer
very much.
Than a Stromberg Carlson. Goodbye from People Are Funny.
And remember, always make yours forever yours.
Who's next, Roy?
Mr. Richard Kaiser, meet Art Linkletter.
Come on up here, Mr. Kaiser. So you'll have some really good candy to satisfy the spooks on Halloween. We have a box of 24 Milky Ways from Mars for you.
Thank you.
You like Milky Ways, Richard?
Oh, very much.
They're fine. You're a boy of about what age?
24.
24, huh? And you come from out of town. This is not your hometown. Don't tell me what it is. Is that right?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. And what are you doing these days? Where are you?
Well, I'm waiting for the Air Force to call me. I'm a reserve officer and
waiting for them. Uh-huh. Now, you're a single man, aren't you, Richard?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. And you were chosen tonight from about a half a dozen volunteers who said that they like dogs. You like dogs.
Very much.
Mm-hmm. And you could get away for a visit to your old hometown for a week or so. Could you start tomorrow morning?
Oh, anytime.
Uh-huh. As long as the government hasn't got their hand on you, you can travel a little.
That's correct.
And, of course, at our expense. Now,
sure.
Don't tell me what your hometown is, but how long has it been since you were there?
Oh, a few years.
Would you like to go back?
Oh, very much.
Have any special friends or relatives?
Oh, lots of friends up there.
Uh-huh. Now, you're going to even like it better on this trip because you're going to give somebody in your hometown, somewhere in the United States, $1,000 in cash. Last week on this program, some kind person, right, sitting in our studio audience, I think it was a minister, volunteered to save a little puppy's life by adopting it from the Los Angeles City Pound 12 hours before it was scheduled to be put away. Now, that pup, it turned out, was a rich pup who was so grateful that he willed all of the money he had in the bank, $1,000 cash, to some other homeless dog somewhere in the United States. Now, Richard Kaiser, your job is to find the missing heir. Last week, we asked our listeners to go to their pound and adopt a dog, because there are lots of cute dogs who otherwise have to be killed unless they're adopted. And the dog that they adopted during this last week might be Miss Doggy of 1953 with a dowry of $1,000 in cash. Now, Richard, you're going to leave tomorrow morning on a 300-mile-an-hour TWA Transworld Airline Constellation for your hometown. When you get there, you go to the poundmaster, get a list of all the people who have adopted dogs in the last week. Then you hunt up these people, go from place to place, grab cabs, interview them, and take a look at the dog they adopted, because you're going to be the one to pick the dog, just like they do in a queen contest, see? Except for one little difference. Beauty doesn't count, and they can either be boys or girls. Now, here's how you judge them. Friendliness, personality, good manners, obedience, intelligence. In other words, an all-around dog. Any ugly mutt, male or female, has as good a chance of winning as a fancy poodle. It's all up to you, Richard. Now, when you've made the choice, you bring the dog and its master back to Hollywood. We'll have them on the show and award the $1,000 cash. Now, you can leave tomorrow?
Yes.
All right. Well, now, here's the question. Which town in the United States is your old hometown?
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City. All right, you folks in Salt Lake City, if you have adopted a dog from your pound in the last week, you might get the $1,000. So, Mr. Kaiser, goodbye to you and good luck to you and your choice for Miss Doggy of 1953. We'll see you in a week. Come on, Richard. The other night, all my little links, and I got a bunch of them, gave me a typical invitation to a typical parent's Halloween party. They said, "Dad, we'll do the tricks, you get the treats." And that, of course, is simple, because I'm just buying a big supply of Mars Dark Chocolate Favorite Forever Yours. Now, you wait till you taste that delicious dark vanilla-flavored chocolate. And there's plenty of it, wrapped all around a Forever Yours candy bar. And that's just the beginning. Bite inside. You meet up with a creamy, fluffy vanilla nougat, topped with a wonderful layer of Mars' famous golden caramel. Forever Yours is the best dark chocolate you can buy. Just as Milky Way, its popular first cousin, is the best light chocolate candy bar you can get. Now, everybody loves Milky Way and its sweet, light, pure milk chocolate goodness. And, by the way, speaking of Halloween, this year the Mars people have added an extra treat of their own. On those big 24-bar boxes of Forever Yours and Milky Way, you'll find some swell, full-face, full-color, cut-out masks that the kids will enjoy. And on the Milky Way six-pack, Mars has also printed a colorful assortment of eye masks. Keep on good spookin' terms with your family and friends this Halloween. Treat them to Forever Yours and Milky Way. Do you remember at the beginning of the program we sent a man out to try to sell quarantine measles signs in a nearby neighborhood for 50 cents each? Remember, he was to try to sell the householders that the signs might frighten away income tax investigators who are doing door-to-door checking. He's back now, so we'll find out what happened. Come on in, Mr. Reif. How many houses did you visit?
I checked approximately nine.
Nine houses. Yeah. Now, you went up the door, knocked on the door, and what did you say?
Well, the first thing I asked him was, I introduced myself, and I asked him whether or not they'd kept up with the news of late in the last couple, two or three weeks, pertaining to the write-ups given the Internal Revenue agents making door-to-door checks on the income tax. I brought it out, and I started to say that we had been visited in the apartment house that I had been living at the day before, and they had missed me, but they had gotten several of the other fellows in there, and they are pretty personal and quite outlandish in their quizzical remarks made at the people when they was asking them pertaining to their private income.
Oh, you just made up this story to tell them how bad it was when the people came around, huh? Then did you bring out the signs?
No. I mentioned the fact that a bunch of us had gotten together, and at our own cost, we had a bunch of these signs printed up, which we figured that if people were interested enough to keep these men out, they would buy one and hang them on the door. But first, we had to find out whether or not they liked the revenue agent coming to their door and checking on their individual incomes.
What was the reaction of these people after this long build-up?
The first house, there was against the internal agent coming into the place there, very definitely.
But what about buying a sign?
Well, they thought it was quite high. I departed there. In the second house, why, I found about the same thing, only they weren't interested in the sign, and the guy says that he'd handle it his own way.
Well, how would he handle it? In what way?
Well, he says that He'd knock his head off if he stepped in through the door.
Did you sell any signs?
Well, I had the opportunity to sell one. This woman, she was very, very much against the man coming to her door and checking.
The idea of the sign appealed to her?
Well, it did, yes. So when I suggested price was 50 cents, she looked at me, and I guess she was kind of a pinch penny. It was a little high.
It was a little high?
Yes.
And we thought 4 bits was very reasonable to get rid of the whole United States government. Did you ever collect any money?
No.
Did
no.
anything unusual happen to you anywhere else?
Yes. The next place I went to, the woman answered the door. I didn't stay there very long.
Why?
She told me to get out in no pleasant terms. As soon as I mentioned the fact that I was from the, I was peddling these cards, and she says, "Well, I couldn't use the language." She says, "I think it's right." She says, "It's none of your business. Just do let them do what they want to." So, before she could say much more, I just took her off.
Now, the last house you went to.
Oh.
What happened?
Well, the guy came to the door, and they were watching TV, and I explained my purpose, and I asked him first, I said, "What do you think about the idea of these guys coming over?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I don't like it." And he said, "I don't think it's right." So I told him that I was living down the street in an apartment house, and
you had these signs for sale?
I had these signs for sale that after a bunch of us guys had made them up, and he says, "Well," he says, "I'm with the Internal Revenue Bureau."
How did he deliver the line? Was he mad or just sedated it, huh?
Well, he... I kind of jumped it, though, a bit. First he asked me, he says, well, where are you from? I told him, the apartment house. He said, "What's your address down there?" Well, I didn't know the address. So he asked me the apartment number, and I told him apartment number. He says, "Well, I lived there a couple of years." He said, "I never heard of that apartment number." That time I began to get worried, you know.
Well, then when he told you he was a tax collector, what'd you do?
Oh, well, we talked a little bit, and I told him, I said, "Oh, heck, fella," I said, "it's just a gag." I said, I'm being initiated into a fraternity over here.
How old can a fraternity man get? That's what I want. Well, I tell you, what would you say would be the final statistics, the count on whether people approve or disapprove, according to your door-to-door check, of the Internal Bureau's plan, of the 9 houses?
Oh, the statistics I would say would be about 6 that are against it, and 2 for it, 1.
And 1 was a collector. That's the part of the census that we don't know how to count. But that's an interesting thing. It goes against the Gallup poll, which went the other way in the actual tabulation of the American people's vote in favor of letting them do a little looking around. Well, I tell you, Mr. Wright, you had a rather interesting evening, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And I tell you, for your work tonight, Forever Yours wants you and your wife to have a beautiful Tappan gas range with the exclusive Tappan features for better cooking. What do you think of that, huh?
Thank you very much.
Good foods just happen when you're cooking on a Tappan, and that's what'll be happening in your house for a long time. By the way, there's one little detail in connection with the gift of the prize I wanted to let you know. The range is considered income. And you owe $63, and I wouldn't forget that because you're one guy the U.S. government's going to be watching. Be sure to listen next week, and if you live in Salt Lake City, you may be the owner of that $1,000 dog. If you live in Los Angeles or are planning to come to Southern California for a visit, you can write for tickets to People Are Funny, CBS Hollywood 28, California. Always glad to see visitors to this town. And now this is Art Linkletter saying goodnight and reminding you, for some mighty good goblin on Halloween, treat those tricksters to Forever Yours and Milky Way. Buy them in the handy 6-pack and the big 24-bar boxes with the free, colorful cutout masks on the back. Good night, everybody.
People Are Funny is brought to you by Forever Yours Candy Bars, that dark chocolate-covered favorite.
Remember, when your taste tells you light, pure milk chocolate over chocolate malted milk nougat, ask for Milky Way. But when dark chocolate is your wish, forever yours is your dish. Milky Way, forever yours. Two quality candy bars made famous by Mars. This program is transcribed from Hollywood.
People Are Funny. From October 13, 1953 on NBC, How to Scare Away the Tax Collector. Art Linkletter, your master of ceremonies there. You are listening to the Upstate Radio Theater, where we present a wide variety of sounds from the golden age of radio. Everything from comedies, game shows, dramas, westerns, detective shows, science fiction, children's programs, music programs. If it was part of the golden age of radio, it's part of the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch with the Radio Theater, you can do so by email. The address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And if you'd like to stream this and previous episodes of the Radio Theater at your convenience, or if you want to view the program listings for each episode in the series, then please visit our blog and website at qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. This is Upstate Radio Theater program number 1716. We'll wrap things up this time around with a lesser-known mystery, suspense, thriller program from radio's golden age, from the mid-1950s, to be exact, the series The Key. The series was created by mystery writer James Workman. If you like programs like Escape, Suspense, and The Mysterious Traveler, I think you'll enjoy The Key. I believe this was a syndicated series. There are no network credits, not even a mention of Armed Forces Radio. So I believe this was syndicated to individual stations, which ran it at various times. And as a result, there are no specific dates for these episodes other than the year, 1956. This episode, Extension of Time.
Every door has a key. There's a key to every situation. Behind every unopened door, there is a mystery. And the opening of this door introduces us to another in the series, The Key.
You've got to give me some time, Christy.
Time is something I haven't got, Hayden boy.
Just a couple more weeks. Time, Christy, it isn't much to ask.
Who's got time to give away? You take a look at that smart wristwatch of yours. Some watch, too, should bring around.
It was a present from my mother.
But it tells the time, doesn't it? Oh, look at that Santa sweep.
All I'm asking you is
for something I haven't got. Look at that Santa sweep. See it moving around, Hayden? Look at it. You try and stop it. Just try. You'll break it. Someone else's watch is ticking away the seconds that run into the hours. And then pretty soon a couple of days have gone, and you're back where you started from. Time goes along all by its sweet self. I don't own any of it.
Meaning?
Hayden boy, if I don't own anything, how can I give you any of it?
You're some friend, aren't you, Christy?
I've got to watch my investments. That's what I've got to do.
But you told me when you lent me the money, you'd wait. You said you didn't mind waiting a while.
Sure, I said it, and I meant it. But, Hayden boy, I have waited a while, and I haven't minded at all. But a little while and a long while are two different times. And I could be an old gray man before your time came around. I want the money, Hayden. And I'm not even going to argue any more about it.
If I say I haven't got it?
Well, now, I don't know what I'd say to that. Nothing much I could say, I suppose.
I haven't got it?
No, if a man hasn't got any money, he just hasn't got it. That's about that. Lucky thing your old lady has some money. And her son.
You wouldn't get a penny out of her. And I wouldn't let you ask.
All of a sudden, you're an honorable young fella, aren't you?
Look, my mother doesn't know anything about this business, and she's not going to.
Not unless I tell her. And maybe it'd be a good thing if she knew. Give her a better insight into the character of the youngest boy.
Christy, I've got to have some time.
There we go again.
$10,000. It isn't a lot of money.
Well, then how come you're having so much trouble finding it?
Well, because I'm overdrawn at the bank and I can't borrow another cent from anyone.
You are not a good credit risk, whichever way you look at it.
Well, that's about it.
Well, then, boy, how do you expect me to take any more trouble over a young scrub who admits he isn't a good credit risk? Oh, you're just asking too much, that's all.
I'll get it for you.
Tonight, Hayden. Tonight, in about 2 hours' time from now, I'll be sitting in the same chair and I'll be waiting. I want $10,000 plus $1,000 for interest.
$1,000?
Why, you agreed to interest, if I remember.
Yes, but I didn't expect... Well, I thought...
You don't know what you mean. Do you think I lend my hard-earned money to young bloods like you because there's joy in my heart towards my fellow man? Do I look like a one-man philanthropic house?
You look what you are, Christy. A vulture.
Maybe I should not give you any more time. Maybe I should ring that blue-blooded old lady of yours and tell her how her son borrowed $10,000 from me to settle up some of these more pressing debts, some of which have a very distinct odor about them.
2 hours?
That was the stipulated time. And you've wasted precious minutes already. Now, let's get out of here, boy. You make me feel like I'm talking beneath myself.
I'll get your money, Christy. I'll get it, and I'll ram it down your scrawny neck.
Just as long as I see it here, in 2 hours' time, I don't mind what you say you'll do with it. Scat, boy, I need thinking room.
Hey, you, me, no one else. Sit down.
No, thank you.
Have a drink.
I'm sorry, I'm in a hurry.
Looking for $10,000 plus.
What? How do you know?
Sit down.
Okay.
Christy got you over a barrel, hasn't he?
I'll manage, thanks.
That's a laugh. When Christy gets his claws into someone, they never do manage.
What's it to you anyway?
Maybe nothing.
Maybe something.
How much money can you get your hands on?
Well, I don't know.
Legal money, I mean. Not the family silver.
A couple of $1,000, little more, maybe.
I have a proposition for you, Walt.
I'm not interested.
Don't you want to pay Christy? Do you want him to blab to your old lady?
I'm in too much trouble as it is without getting mixed up in something crooked. I'll get the money somehow.
Last words. Don't worry about me. I'll be there with the money. Do you know what'll happen to you when you turn up gone? When you don't give Christy Fallon his $10,000 plus, you wake up in an alley with a cat looking at you. And you won't be the man about town any longer. You'll have a crooked nose and a set of sore teeth. Am I getting through?
What's the proposition?
That's my boy. That's my smart boy. Well, it's like this. There's a dame in this town. She's a new arrival, and she's hot for the society level. See?
No, I don't.
With some people, it takes a little longer. She wants in with the town's 400. You happen to be one of the 400.
And you want me to introduce her around?
And you a college boy. No, Junior, I don't care if she never gets to the top. I know she is loaded. She's got it stacked on its edges. And I feel that it's wrong of a female person to have so much money and not share it around.
You're going to rob her.
He's got it.
Oh, no, thank you. I've done a lot of things, but I'm not going to rob anyone.
Very noble, too. You do not seem to grasp the idea. I'm going to soak this chick for a lot of money. Now, I don't care whether you help out or not. If you do, it'll make things a lot easier for me. If you don't, I'll still manage it. So why don't you get wise and lend a helping hand? And, incidentally, get yourself off the hook with Christy.
I should go to the police.
The natural reaction of every red-blooded American boy. Only your red blood has thinned a little through the generations, and I don't think you have the inside to do it. And knowing full well that I'd tear your arm off and beat your head in with it. Now, what do you say, boy? Do you listen to the idea?
What have I got to lose?
That's it. That is it. What have you got to lose? Look, boy, we are going to see this doll. She's having dinner at someplace downtown. We are going to meet her, and we are going to have a nice social chat.
Yeah, but where does my few $1,000 come in?
All that. That. You are to go and get me the money. About $3,000, I think, will be enough. No, on second thoughts, make it four.
But I'll have to hawk all
that I... Remember, Christy.
Okay.
We need the money for a setup. We have to get an apartment downtown. We have to get some nice food and some liquid refreshment. We have to dress it up big.
I don't like it.
We invite this doll to meet some great little people. And then we go to the apartment. We have a little game of something, maybe a little roulette, and she loses a lot of money. She's got a lot of money to lose. You help console the little girl, and you give her a couple of $1,000s.
Give it to her?
With your own little hands, give it to her. You say, doll, I can't see you losing all your lettuce like this.
I've only got 2 hours to get $10,000. This is going to take more than 2 hours to arrange.
That's true.
Then it's a waste of time.
I shall personally see to it that Christie receives my note for your money. I'll give him my paper, something I don't do for many people. Is it a deal, kid? We need your $4,000 or I'd hand it myself. But at the moment, ready money is as scarce as hen's teeth. Tomorrow or the next day, ready money will make a coffin for us to walk on.
I'm in.
Our fortune is assured.
And all I want is my $4,000 back, plus enough to pay Christie.
You have it, boy, on the word of Harold Percival Blanket. Now, let's get ourselves downtown. I think our pigeon should be dining at the Moonlight Room. There's our pigeon. Some feathers, huh?
She's very nice, isn't she?
You guys kill me. You see a doll that's out of this world, and the most you can say is very nice. Come on, let's get to work.
What do I do?
Oh, this will never work. You behave like a thoroughgoing young gentleman. That's what you do.
What about you?
Worry yourself not about me, boy. I'll manage to sound okay. Now, shall we to work?
Oh, dear.
Oh, terribly sorry. I didn't really notice. Dear me, I've ruined your dress.
Oh, that's all right. I'll wipe it up.
You could at least allow me to replace the drink.
Honestly, it isn't necessary.
But I insist. Don't we, Hayden? Don't we, Hayden?
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, what can I do?
Relax and enjoy yourself. My name is Harold P. Blanket, the Boston Blankets.
How do you do?
I'm Hayden Seaberg.
One of the Icy Bergs. Well, it never does get a laugh, does it? What are you drinking, Miss... Hey, we don't even know your name.
Shauna O'Farrell. Of the Irish O'Farrell.
How do you do?
Now that we know each other, I'll buy us all a drink. What are you doing in this little town, Miss O'Farrell?
Oh, I wouldn't call it a little town, Mr. Blanket.
The longer you live in a city, the more it gets like a small town. Every time you turn a corner, you walk into a creditor.
I've invited some people up for drinks and a bite. They'll be along in a minute.
Are you sure we're not intruding?
Oh, don't be silly. I think you'll like the people. You see, I'm a social climber.
Yes, so I can...
I beg your pardon.
This is some swell apartment, Shauna. Really lovely.
Pour yourself something. I want to see they left some food for me.
Great. We don't even have to use the apartment. We fixed it.
But what about her friends?
Friends, schmends. Did you see the ice she's wearing?
Yeah, what about it?
I was going to knock her for a couple of grand, maybe 20, but she's wearing a fortune in glass. A fortune, Hayden boy.
Oh, no, I'm not having anything to do with robbery.
You'll do like you're told. That's what you'll do. Here, take this gun.
Oh, don't be silly.
You take it, boy, or I might use it on you.
Well, there's plenty to eat in the, What's the matter?
Shauna,
That is a gun, isn't it?
What? Oh, yeah, I didn't realize.
It's a gun, sister. Now, we want that you should give us all your nice baubles. No screams, please, honeypot. Just unclasp the lot. Hurry it, will you?
I'm very sorry, but I have no intention of doing any such thing.
Change your intentions. That's a good girl. Hayden, you should keep that gun on her. If she moves, you should shoot her.
You can't get away with it. I'll go to the police as soon as possible.
Sweetness, I'll be so far away, it'll take them a lifetime to find me. That's a good girlie. Grab and go, Hayden. Go on, pick it up. It isn't hot much.
I'm awfully sorry, Shauna. I can assure you this isn't any of my arrangements.
That's the lot. Now, will you get out?
For sure, but first to make sure we get a chance to get away. Straight across here and hurry. Where's your car?
Next block.
Make for it.
Hey, you two.
It's the law.
Hold it. Hey, you two and the monkeys.
I'm not going to be stopped by anyone now. I can't be...
What for did you run, you idiot?
Because I didn't want a policeman to find me with a pocket full of hot jewelry, that's why.
Slow this thing down. You'll have every car in town breathing down our neck.
Why didn't you do it the way we intended? Win our money at cards.
This way was quicker.
And more dangerous.
Keep your eye on the road and slow down.
All I want to do is get home and lock myself in.
You need to lock yourself in. You're as nervous as a cat.
I am not in the habit of robbing young ladies.
It grows on you. Didn't I keep telling you to slow down? Now look what's happened.
I'll have to stop.
Get around this corner. Now slow her down.
But the police.
Slow it down.
I can't afford to be stopped by the police. My mother and...
Stop here. Stop the car. I'll bust your one. See you back at Benny's. We'll have to split up.
Yeah, but what about the car?
I'll leave it. See you.
And what about the jewelry?
Hold until I see you at Benny's. Give it about 3 hours.
Yeah, but the police.
Don't let them catch you, boy.
What do I do? What am I going to do?
This your car, young fella?
My car?
That's what I said.
No, sir, no, it's not my car.
See anyone get out of it?
No, yes.
Make up your mind.
Someone got out and ran that way.
You sure it's not your heat?
Positive.
You own a car?
Yes, sir.
Mind if I see your license?
Yes, I do.
I'll have to insist.
Well, I'll have to refuse. You can't force me to show you my license if I don't want to.
If we check and find this car belongs to you, you'll be in trouble. If you tell the truth now, it might save you some of that trouble.
It's not my car.
Broke about every rule in the book and some that ain't been made yet. Show me your license, please, sir.
I refuse.
Then I'll have to hold you till we check on the vehicle.
I'm sorry. I can't wait here like a common criminal.
What makes you so nervous, you
know? I'm not nervous.
Just cold, huh? It's not a hot car, is it?
Of course not.
How would you know if it isn't yours?
Well, because I don't know.
Traffic offenses are a bad thing, but people don't get hit up over them. You make a good excuse and pay your fine, and that's that. You'd think I was after your scalp. What is it?
I refuse to be questioned in this manner.
It's the only manner I've got. Maybe you'd like to come down to the station and let some other officer try his manner out on you.
I'm going home, and you can't stop me. I have my rights as a citizen.
Lots of other citizens live in this city, and they've got a couple of rights. They don't like to be knocked down by crazy kids in hot rods.
I am not a crazy kid, and that is not a hot rod.
This time, I want your license without any fuss and bother.
Very well, I'll have to call my...
What's that bulge in your pocket?
Oh, it's nothing.
It's a gun.
Now, you get away from
me. The gun and the license. For both. Now, come on now.
Well, here's my license, and... Oh, yowie.
Al, get over here. It's a hot one.
No, sir. I can explain.
You'll get your chance.
No, I'm not going to jail. Now, get your hand away from that gun.
Don't be silly, kid.
Don't come any closer.
Make it easy on yourself, son.
I said keep away. This is all a mistake.
Ours or yours?
All right, take him, Al. You crazy young fool. Stop or I'll fire. Stop.
Your 2 hours isn't quite gone yet, boy.
There was a man in here earlier. I was talking to him.
People come and people go. Everyone talks to someone I didn't ever notice.
He must have.
In trouble?
No.
Yes.
Nothing I can't get out of.
Got my money?
The heck with your money.
That's what you say.
You know a man called Harold Blanket?
Night.
Now, where can I find him?
Wherever he is.
You want your money?
Better than that. I'm going to get it.
You'll have to help me find this Blanket character.
Son, you walked in here about 6 months ago full of social grace and the desire to see how the seamy side existed. You had yourself a ball. You gambled and got yourself mixed in with people your old lady would never know about, let alone approve. You threw your money away and begged me for a loan. I gave it to you. On conditions. The conditions being that I get it back. I want my money, boy, and I want it soon. And I'm not going to raise a sweat helping you get it. Now, get out of here.
Christy, the police are after me.
You're not the only one.
I killed a policeman, Christy.
What? Go on, scat. You get a cop in this town and you're as hot as a $2 watch. Scat, boy, before I do some hollering. But remember, if I don't get that money, I'm going to tell your dear old lady. Now get out. Go home. Go anywhere. Scat.
Shot and killed on the corner of 7th and the Boulevard. He is armed and dangerous. Description as follows. Height 6 feet, wavy blonde hair, dressed well in dark suit, probably dinner jacket.
Ooh. I've got to get out of this dinner jacket. The only thing to do is leave town. All right, so you're running away. It's nobody's neck but your own. First, that's what you've got to be. First. If I can make it across the state line, I've got a chance. Shot and killed a police officer. Shot and killed a police officer. Killed a man in cold blood. So far, so good. Another 10 miles and I'm in the clear. At least I'll have a chance. Another few miles. Just another... Oh, no. A roadblock. A roadblock all for me, just like in the movies. I'm a murderer on the run. Well, Haiti, if they catch you, you'll get the books, or you might as well give them a run. Strike one for our team. Couple more miles and I'm over the line. Oh, come on, car, come on. Don't let me down now. No one's gonna to stop me now. I'm this close to no one. I'll make it if I've got to crawl on my stomach. I'll make it. I'll make it. I've got to. Oh, for a rotten $10,000. That's all. $10,000 and that hog Christie breathing down my neck. Tell my mother. A disgrace. I'll let him tell her now because it doesn't matter. Oh, no, 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 they couldn't. They couldn't. No, I didn't mean to. Oh, no, 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 no.
Stop!
No, no.
Stop, I say!
No.
Stop, you young fool!
Stop, what for? So I can be locked up and tried and sent to the chair? So everyone can talk about me? So they can hold me up as an example? No, I'm not stopping, sir. I'm sorry, I've got to get away.
Son. All for a handful of glass that wasn't worth a $10 bill.
Not worth? Not worth money?
Glass and lead, that's all.
But he said it was... He said it was worth a fortune. $10,000 to pay back. Too much. What a fortune.
What $10,000?
Had to have it. Christy said, tell mother.
Christy?
Blanket. Blanket.
We'll get your blanket, boy.
No. Blanket was with me. He said I should. Oh, $10,000. Oh, only way, but I didn't want to. Blanket and Christy.
Christy Fallon?
That's right. What can I do for you?
Know a guy called Harold Blanket?
Maybe.
Know a kid called Hayden Seberg?
Some.
He's dead.
Tough.
You'll have to whistle for your $10,000.
I've whistled before.
Where's Harold Blanket?
More than likely find him a Benny's.
The stupid young idiot. So he has to lose his nerve and blast a cop. Well, it ain't my fault, that much I know.
Sure it's not, honey, not one little bit. Now, how about my share of the $4,000 you got from him? I want out of this town, and I want it fast.
I wouldn't worry. By the time Hayden Seaberg stops running, he'll be in Little America.
We should have hit him for more than $4,000.
It was all he had. I knew he was a sucker when I heard him talking to Christy Fallon. But I knew we wouldn't get much more than this out of him. So what's wrong with it for a couple of hours' work? Miss Shauna O'Farrell from the Irish O'Farrells. You're good, honey. I'll give you that.
You're okay yourself.
Years of practice and the ability to pick a sucker a block away. First thing in the morning, we buy another heap of junk and move on. I'd have given my eye teeth to have seen the kid's face when that copper folded. I wonder what he's doing now. Running like a fox, I'll bet.
He stopped running a couple of hours ago.
What?
He stopped running.
Who are you talking about, may I ask?
You both better make it nice and quietly, because I'm a police officer and I'm sworn to uphold the law. But I'd dearly love to blow your head off. Walk.
I've never been so insulted
Don't
in my life.
Don't say a word. We'll do like the man says. Then we'll see.
Have a last listen to the music, because it is your last. Two dead. Two nice people, all because you saw a setup for a couple of tawdry dollars. Now walk. Closing door finishes the story. Next week, another key will open another door to another story. Mystery, romance, or adventure. All start when a door is unlocked by the key.
Extension of Time, an episode of the lesser-known mystery suspense thriller series, The Key. And it's unfortunate, really, that the series is not as well-known as programs like Suspense or Escape, as I've listened to several episodes, and I think that the production quality of this series ranks right up there with the more familiar programs in this type of genre of old-time radio. And with that, we come to the end of this hour of the program. My name is Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. I do hope you enjoyed my selections. Once again, if you want to get in touch, the address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com and the website, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. And I invite you to join me again soon for another hour of sounds from the golden age of radio. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.